Welcome to Outs Now Podcast that amplifies the voices and topics which help us think of situations differently.
We are your hosts, Tanya and Janine. We believe that together we can make a difference by discussing important and even fun topics of our time.
Outs Now Podcast delves into the stories and experiences of individuals who have faced tough times. We uncover the hidden narratives in difficult topics.
Through this podcast, we strive not only to inform, but also to empower our listeners. Together, we can raise awareness and spark meaningful dialogue.
We believe that everyone has a role to play in shaping the world we live in. So join us as we oust now.
A quick note before this episode starts. This episode here is a re-release of one of our highest rated episodes. It is the top listened to episode from both seasons. It was supposed to be our original season 2 first episode, but life be lifing, and we had to start on over. So this is again our highest listened to episode, and it is a question on racism, which we reformatted a little bit and brought it up to speed of where we are in season 2. And without further ado, here is a question on racism, the Redux.
Hey everybody, Oust is back. It's Tanya.
Well, welcome to Oust. We're glad to be back. This is Janine.
We are really excited for our season 2. Look, season 1 kind of got a little waylaid with this COVID stuff and life kind of throwing us some wrenches. I'm pretty happy to kind of be back in the swing of things.
Right. I miss it. I miss our sessions. It's therapeutic for me.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is there'll be no shortage of things for us to talk about this coming season.
Definitely not.
Oh my gosh. So today we do, you know, there's so much, I don't know, there's so much like tension in the world right now. And it's, you know, it feels like, and I don't know if you feel the same way, like you watch the news and, you know, you catch glimpses of things like on social media and stuff like that. And it feels like there's a lot of tension, racial tension. Is that like, do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. I'm not really for sure. No. I'm just going to say how I honestly feel, because that's just way more organic. I know we're going to get to an episode about media and social media, but I do feel that there has been definitely a play. It's almost as if that's what's intended to be seen or be viewed. And I'm not saying that it's not there, because it is there. It's so there. And because we have access to cell phones, it's way easier for people to actually visibly see what has been going on for a very long period of time. Very long period of time. But it's so publicized now. So it's no more, I'm trying to articulate my words here, so just bear with me. It's no more hidden secret, I guess you can say. And I don't mean to say hidden secret just for a lack of a better term, but like it's so publicized, like there's no doubt about it. Even if things could have been called into question at one time, it definitely at this point, it cannot be denied from anybody that these are the things that has been taking place all along, and now with so much light shed on it, and it's so much tension, like you said, and animosity, and it's just different. And not just the COVID, because this COVID thing definitely changed everybody's lives. But this right here is something that it's like an atmosphere change. I can't really even explain it, but it's
hard to describe. Yep.
It's hard to describe. Like I'm happy in the sense that, hey, you're going to have to acknowledge it now because there's no denying it. There's absolutely no way you can see the things that have been taking place and not see that there's an issue.
So do you also feel like now that it's, I mean, obviously social media is why this is, you know, people know more about what's happening to, right, you know, people of color, right? So, right, you know, it's kind of, and I know this is not our social media episode, but it's kind of, it's twofold, right? Because the benefit is that, hey, all these years that, you know, people have been talking about this stuff, everyone is like, oh, that's BS, it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. But here it is, right in mm-hmm. your face, because things go viral so quickly. But back in the day when we were growing up, I mean, hey, if you're lucky, it made national news and you'd read it in the newspaper or you'd watch it on one of the national news networks on TV. But
right,
it happens so fast now that, and it's hard to keep up first and foremost, but it's not how it is when you and I were growing up, where there was, you know, two TVs and if you'd lucky, you'd know what would happen because it's national news, or you may not because, you know, these small, you know, small towns, small town America, those things didn't necessarily make national news.
Not only did it not make national news, but I'm going to tell you how I feel. And it goes back kind of to what I said earlier, that because this big light has been shed on it, there's no deniability. And see, when we were growing up, it was a lot of he say, she say. There was never actually any proof. We didn't have cell phones when I was growing up. We had pagers, okay? and a pager ain't recording a darn thing, okay? So I've been disrespected by the police before, but I didn't have cell phones to prove that this officer, whom is held to a higher standard, and to be honest, a lot of times when things happen where we was disrespected and our rights was violated, a lot of times we wouldn't even say anything because half the time we felt like they're not gonna believe us. I've had it happen. I've had it happen to me. I had a police officer come to my house because a crime was being committed against me. And he literally told me, hey, don't call us out here again, because if you do, we're going to go ahead and call social services and say that you're putting your kids in danger, when it had nothing to do with me. Like, someone was literally threatening me. Come to find out, and this wasn't until years later when I actually became a police officer and got into law enforcement, that I learned that it was so illegal for him to even threaten me with that, especially considering the crime was against me. Mm. But I didn't know.
So,
and a lot of times it's a lack of knowledge.
Because mm-hmm. we don't know our rights.
People don't know that. Exactly. And after being in law enforcement for the time period that I was, that's when I realized, you know what? A lot of them get away with a lot of the stuff they get a lot away with because people don't know their rights. And that is what I strongly, not as just an ex-officer, just as a human being, is know your rights. I don't care what color you are. Know your rights, because they cannot do certain things and handle you a certain way if you know your rights. They get scared when you start knowing what you're talking about. They don't really like it. And sometimes, another thing that I kind of, and I could be absolutely wrong. So you can definitely say, hey, I don't, you know how we do, disagree, agree, you know, agree to disagree. But my thing right here is, when it comes to some, not all, because I've been in law enforcement, but a lot of them have a control issue. Oh no, you're going to do what I say. You're going to do what I say. Who are you to question what I'm saying? Because I have a right to. That's why. But they get so offended. They get ripped. Sometimes I've even seen them get downright irate. No, you're going to tell me why you're pulling me over. You're going to tell me how come you're stopping me to talk to me. Period. You're going to tell me why you want to search me.
I don't know. I could be wrong here. And, you know, when it comes to law enforcement, you know, I do have a respect for law enforcement. You know, I obviously we have family.
I do.
Is in law enforcement currently. And, you know, you are former law enforcement. And I have a lot of respect. And, you know, there's that whole frame of thought that, oh, it is just a few bad apples. Maybe. But.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. What the rationale here, I don't get. But what I really think that part of the issue is, you know, I'm just a regular old, you know, person, you know, I'm just a regular person. But my thought is, when I look at the things that are happening between like George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, which is just fucking devastating, you know, just this week, you know, there was a civil settlement for her case. And I think to the tune of $12 million and committed, the state committed to police reform. There's a disparity between that settlement versus, and I apologize because I didn't, you know, we're very organic in what we're talking about, right?
Right.
So this is just kind of coming to me as we're talking about it. So I don't have anything in front of me right now, but there's a huge disparity in the settlement for Breonna Taylor, which is $12 million versus the woman from Australia who was here vacationing, where it was a $67 million lawsuit settlement. And the person, the officer who killed her, was arrested, I think, almost immediately. But you have Breonna Taylor, where there's a civil settlement, and the officers still have not even been arrested.
Not one. Right.
And I'm just, hang on, I'm so sorry. Hey, bud.
I love you.
I love you too. But, you know, I sometimes feel, and again, like I said, I'm just an average old person, you know. Hey, I'm no genius, whatever. But thank you, bud. I kind of feel when it comes to, you know, funding for, you know, for law enforcement, I kind of feel that a lot of organizations are basically just filling bodies. I don't think that they are really hiring qualified people. I think they're just trying to fill in those spots so they can keep the funding that they're getting for law enforcement. And they're picking and choosing the wrong people for this job. I just kind of think, like, to a degree, and I'm not saying that's everywhere. Sure, it's not everywhere, but I think that may be the case in the vast majority of things, because especially for the people who, sorry, I'm choosing my words because I've got this little person hanging out with me. But I think that's the case in so many, too many scenarios. One is too many, two is too many, three is too many.
Right, absolutely.
So from that standpoint, I'm like, stop filling bodies and fill it with people who are qualified, or maybe people who actually live in the communities that they are working in.
Okay, well, go ahead. I'm so sorry, baby.
No, I mean, that's actually one of the things that I think they're asking for with Ms. Taylor's case, is that specifically, and this is something that I've said in my private conversations, like, hey, you know, half the people who are policing the communities, they don't live in those communities. They don't know what it's like to really live there. So how can you tell me that they can really police those communities when they do not live there? That's unfair.
Okay. So I totally agree with what you're saying, but I do want to give some clarity as a person that was in law enforcement. And just to clarify for some people that are still in law enforcement. Okay. So actually becoming a law enforcement officer is not as easy as it may appear. Like they do extensive background checks. Most of them do lie detector tests, also psychological tests, et cetera, et cetera. So they definitely, before they put people into those positions, and I just want to clarify it. I'm not taking sides here. I just want to clarify that in order to become a certified law enforcement officer, and you do have to go through extensive stuff. Now, what I will say is that now, could some of the tests, could some of the questions, could some of the criteria, could that be somewhat biased, or could that target more of a certain group of people? Heck yeah, absolutely, because, you know, you have to do a credit check. I mean, they want to make sure you won't accept a bribe. Well, that's their strategy behind it, but there are definitely, with anything, loopholes.
So how do you think that there's... So is it...
Go ahead.
So I guess with your experience, and
my thought is, hey, I think one bad apple is too many, especially when you're supposed to be, you're held to a higher standard. Yeah, I get it. You're a regular person. I do. I get it. But you're still held to a higher standard. I don't care which way you slice it, because that's just how I see it.
Okay, well, that's true. You are held to a higher standard when you're out here, and you should be. Absolutely. Anybody that holds that type of authority has to be held to a higher standard. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't want anybody to minimize the process that these women and men really do have to do to be on that role. And I don't want to minimize that they're at risk too. I've been out
that's
there.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, I don't, because you're right. One bad person, one wrong decision, that actually, it seems like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like you said, like someone can make a mistake, or someone can be a racist, but that does not mean pop out there wearing a badge that is Caucasian is a racist. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be
sure.
So real with you. I've experienced racism from my own people.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Same.
So I don't want to make it seem like, you know, it's a white or black. It's sad. White, black, blue, whatever. It's what we see, and what people have been enduring for decades.
So,
it's hurtful and it's sad, and I would not want to be in law enforcement right now, because see, I know how I know who I am. You know who I am. People that know me know who I am. But when I'm out there on that street, I'm not identified as Janine. I'm not identified as Tanya's sister or my kid's mom. I'm identified at that point as one of them. I'm identified as a cop. And what was hurtful, and I'm going to be so honest with you, what's hurtful is when I wanted to wear that badge, and when I wore that badge, it signified something to me. It signified that I am a public servant. I was proud to wear that, because I'm here to help the community. But now I wouldn't want to wear a badge, because no matter what my intentions are, it's not going to be saw that way. And it's because of a few. Mm-hmm. It's because of a few.
So then how do you think it gets to that? I guess here's my question. I know we kind of go one way, but since we are completely organic, it's going a completely different way, which is good. It's good. But right. Here's my question then. So knowing the experiences that you've had in terms of the vetting process between like the academy and the background checks and, you know, all the psychological exams that they end up giving you, how is it that something like this is, I don't know, is it missed? Is it something that you evolve to because your ego is, because how much ego plays into some of these scenarios?
I don't know, because I cannot speak for everybody. And this is something that, this is me. Everybody's not like me, but some people let the gun and the badge make them. But I was the one that made that gun and that badge. And to be honest, no one, look, when I say this, I said this recently for for a couple of meetings that I have had to have recently. But, you know, everything, even law enforcement, I know this is going to be a shocker when I say it, right? But just hear me out. Everything is customer service. Everything. Everything is customer service. I promise you. People be like, wait, law enforcement ain't customer. Yes, it is. Even working in a prison is customer service. And I'm going to tell you why. Because sometimes it's not what you say to people. It's how you treat and address people. Now, am I going to tell you, honestly, that worked every single time I had to confront somebody out here in that street? No. But I promise you, I got way better results. Way better results.
Old additive, you catch more bees with honey.
But that's what grandma used to say. She said, you catch more bees with honey than you do shit. That's what she used to say. Something like that.
Well, I bet. You might be catching some nasty old flies with that other stuff.
Look, I'm just honest. Like, sometimes it's really how you address people. Who's happy about having to go to jail? Who's ever happy about having to be arrested? I've had to take people to jail that have come back and apologized to me. Hey, I'm sorry. It wasn't you. I know it wasn't me because let me clarify. It's not that easy all the time. It's not. Sometimes I don't care how you try to explain stuff to people, they're not going to get it. Sometimes I don't care how hard you try to de-escalate a situation. Sometimes it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so that part I get. But was it an ego thing? Not an ego thing. I want to go home. And I want whoever I'm dealing with to be able to go home eventually. If that's what, you know what I'm saying? Like that's why we have judges and attorneys. They make those decisions. Mm-hmm. They make decisions.
So how is it? Like, I have two things. One that's going to circle back to something that you said a few minutes ago. But then it seems like with some officers, it's like they are, like, in my house, I am your judge, I am your jury, I'm your executioner, I do it all. But it seems like there's that set, like, when they're some officers, not all, obviously, but it kind of seems like they are taking on that role of judge, jury,
and they should be prosecuted. No, they should be prosecuted. I promise you, let me tell you, and this is what I'm about to say, and
like, where's the due process?
It's okay, and like, that's what I'm about to get to. That's exactly what I'm about to get to. That's, girl, I was going there with you, because, and I don't care who I offend. I have to be real, okay? Look. And you, me, anybody wrongfully take somebody's life, we going to jail. We are going to jail. Now we might get out. We might be proven innocent later. It might be some circumstances, but we more than likely are getting arrested and we're going to jail. So now, this is, and let me tell you, because I have been on the other side. So please understand what I'm saying. When you out here on this road, okay, let me make this very clear. Because I respect our good officers. I respect our officers that are out there really actually trying to make a difference. And so that's why I'm clarifying this. Let me explain to you. Okay. So they don't make that decision. We're not allowed to make that decision. Now, do we have the ability to take people's freedom away? Yes, we do. But that's what the judges, the attorney, that's what due process is for. Now, let me clarify this. When you're out there and you're on these streets, sometimes you have to make a split-second decision. And I've been there. Now, I thank God I have never had to shoot anybody. I've never had to tase anybody, okay? But I'm not going to say I haven't had to tussle, okay? I'm not going to say that. And a lot of these people out here, and God, please forgive me for saying what I'm about to say, but some of these people are afraid. I mean, afraid. If you are a law enforcement officer, and not just law enforcement officers, people in general, like, people scared to fight. Everybody want to pull out a gun. Everybody want to, look, what happened to back in the day when people used to just fight and go home and y'all, even the same person there might have beat your ass yesterday, y'all cool a couple of days later.
So can I ask you a question, kind of off topic, but somewhat on topic? So before you became a police officer, no, I'm like, no, this is off topic, but on topic. So like, so and here's what I'm asking, this a little bit of context here. So, you know, I was married to a police officer. I wanted to be a police officer until, you know, my path changed courses, right? But even being married to a police officer, I was still, this is going to sound crazy, but this is going to sound real fucking crazy, but I still, and going into my later adult life, still being married, I had a fear of police if I was getting pulled over.
Hell yeah.
Is that, like, to me, it doesn't even make sense.
Hold up. I'm going to be real with you.
Did you have the same? Like, before you were a police officer?
Hell, you want the truth? The honest to God truth? Let's be real.
Yeah.
While I was a police officer, before I was a police officer, and now after I'm a police officer, I was a cop. And still was in fear when cops were called. Ain't that crazy? But that's the truth. And that's like, it don't get no realer than that. As a matter of fact, I got one better for you. This is real talk. When I was growing up, I was always taught what? Police officers are your friends.
Yeah, like you respect them. That, oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, right? But you know what? After I became an officer, and it hurts me to say it, but I never taught my kids that after. I never taught my kids that, ever.
So wait, I'm sorry, because you cut out for a little bit. You never taught your kids to...
I never taught my kids to look at them like they are your friend. Ever. Never. I'm honest. I never taught my kids that. I taught my kids how to conduct themselves when dealing with a police officer. But I did let them know not all police officers are your friends. And it's hurtful to admit that as a person that was in law enforcement for 8 years. But that's what I tell my kids. All of them. Every last one.
What a difference. What a difference from what... I mean, hands down, like we... households and what have you, but we've still had that same commonality of, no, you respect the police, like that's straight up, and they mm-hmm. are your friend. Do you remember that dog? What yep. was that dog? Do you remember that dog? The police dog. You know who I'm talking about? McGruff.
Right.
You know what I'm talking right. about, right? You were seeing right. commercials mm-hmm. on TV, but mm-hmm. okay. So you know, I can't put a name to it right now. I feel like it was McGruff. I could be wrong, but there was a. Of respect that I was taught. But then as you start hearing about these stories, there's then came the fear, right?
And go ahead.
Hell, I ain't doing nothing, right? But I'm literally filled with.
I am. Let me tell you how bad it is. You want to say, like, this is no lie. Like, I hate dealing with them. And I told you I had an experience earlier today, right? I'm going to be real with you. And I don't know if it's just me, but even if I'm driving, just hear me out. And it could just be me. And if you be like, hey, Janine, I'm not really that bad. But I'm going to tell you how bad it is for me, okay? If I'm driving and I spot them real quick, I can even spot ones that's in unmarked cars. And I don't know if that's because of my experience or because of my anxiety. But even when I know, because I don't do anything wrong, you know me, I don't break no laws, girl, I'm too scary, okay? So,
me too.
That's for real. That's too damn scary. I'll be up tall on my damn self shit. I can't commit no crime, okay?
I'm not good at it.
Look.
I wish I was, but I'm not. I don't steal. I don't lie. That's not my path. I'm not good at it. I'd be arrested same day.
Right. Yeah, and if they tell you that I did anything like petty theft, you know it's a lie. Okay, it's a straight lie. Okay, because one, I'm scary, and two, if I'm gonna damn go to jail, it's gonna be damn worth my while. I'm not doing no petty crime. Okay, so just no.
Mm-mm.
But real talk though.
Like, don't.
When I pass, if I pass, and that's the sad part is that this is somebody that used to be in law enforcement. But when I pass a state trooper, I tense up. When I pass a county officer, I tense up. And I ain't even doing nothing wrong. That's what's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I do absolutely nothing wrong. I go to work, come home, take care of the kids, regular everyday citizen. So it should not be that. And I'll be happy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I want it to be to where I can tell my children that naive thought that we had growing up, cops are your friend. I want them to be that hero that I saw, that I felt when I was growing up. I want them to be that sense of security that we once had, because it was that way. I wasn't always fearful the police or law enforcement or, but the way things have been, it's in the atmosphere. You feel it.
So, yeah, you do. Now, you said, so you brought up something that we were kind of mapping it out, just trying to get a basic outline. Because again, folks, we're very organic. Like, right. It can start out one way and kind of go left or right, however. But you mentioned something that I was thinking about, because as far as experiencing racism in your own home, you know, and not as much as, you know, if I can necessarily fully call it racism, I don't fully know how to describe it. And in part, it's because I don't know how to put a name to this. And, you know, for people who are listening, you know, Jeannie and I, we grew up in two different households. So our mother is Puerto Rican. Our father is African-American, and we had two very different experiences. I think I can comfortably say that I experienced more of the Puerto Rican culture while you may have experienced more of our African-American culture. But even within the Latino community, there, mm-hmm. I hear the word colorism a lot.
Oh, girl, yes. I was waiting for you to use that word.
I hear colorism a lot, but here's the difference. I don't think I can use that word here. And now I can't give you full examples because some of it is very hurtful. And this, and when I've experienced something that's very hurtful, I don't necessarily remember the details of it, but I do remember the hurt that comes from it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So like our mom, she was very fair. And if to look at, I mean, I hate to put a color to it, but she was very fair. Like if you didn't know, she was Puerto Rican or Latino until she opened up, you know, she talked and she had this really cute Puerto Rican accent. Then you knew.
Yeah, she looked Caucasian.
But to look at her, right. You wouldn't know.
Right. She looks Caucasian.
Right. Right. So straight up, she looks Caucasian. You wouldn't know. But she would say things talking about like, she'd talk about Black folks, and the way that she would say it, it wasn't what she was saying, but in the way that she would say it, there was such negativity
and the undertones of it. Like, it was awful to the point where I clearly remember saying to myself, like, well, what about me? I'm Black. I've always known I was Black.
But this is what I'm about to tell you. Your experience, and please,
and I say
not,
that because
do not know, misunderstand me. Go ahead. Go ahead, sis. I don't want to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, damn. No. So, you know, she just the way that she would say things, it would be like, but I'm Black. So what does that mean for me? Like, that would be the feeling that I would walk away with it when those things happen. Like, she would just start going in and cussing and talking about Black folks. And I'd be like, what the fuck? Now, I didn't say what the fuck because that would have got my ass beat. But I would have that impression like, dude, well, what am I?
Well, you know.
And how do you see me?
Right. That's sad. That's hurtful. Huh. And to be honest, I'm so sorry. I keep cutting you off. Go ahead, baby.
No, that's so sorry. And you keep cutting in and out. So I don't know what the editing is going to look like. But I wanted to ask, like, when you said that you experience, because I wasn't sure if you, like, what that looked like for you. But I'm like, how did you experience it in your home?
Okay, so I want to start off by saying that had to be very, very hurtful, because that says something about her. It doesn't say anything about you. I really hope you understand that it says something about who she was as a person for you to let. And I don't mean and listen to me, and we're gonna take this back a notch, okay? Because there have been slave owners that call slaves all kinds of, okay? So let's throw that out there, okay? So just because someone is having kids with somebody, or because someone is portraying to not be a racist or not see color.
So we're going to pause here for a second. Some of the words that were being used in this conversation were somewhat hurtful, so we decided to take this small portion out in editing, but I think you'll still get an idea of what we're trying to get across here.
Okay, so let's throw that out there. Okay, so just because someone is having kids with somebody, or because someone is portraying to not be a racist or not see color, who they truly are eventually comes out. So I'm just saying, okay? And when I say, I'm referring as to the names that they will call us, not saying that that's what we are, okay? So I want to clarify that too, and because I don't want anybody to feel like I'm calling anybody anything. I'm not using racial slurs. I'm just simply saying what we were once called, okay? Let's clarify that.
And
my experience is a little different. And what I mean by difference is you was dealing with someone that really was racist. And just because they had kids with a Black man doesn't mean they're not racist. Because if someone can say those things, that's what they feel. That's definitely what they feel. Okay. And they obviously didn't see, they don't see them as being equal with us, with Black people per se. They think they're better, and I'm not gonna lie, racism is definitely in all cultures, okay? Because we have Spanish people that are brown and dark skin, and they've been, you know, discriminated against because they wasn't fair skinned like our mother was. Okay, mm-hmm. So you know, I've witnessed that too. I've child, but anyway, I experienced a lot of colorism. I never really experienced racism. Actually, I never really experienced racism until I moved to the South. Now, I will honestly say that I had a lot of Spanish friends growing up, and they definitely kind of made it clear that I wasn't one of them, so to speak. Mm. You know what I'm trying to say? So
yeah.
But the majority of racism that I have had to deal with, honestly, truth be told, would be the colorism that I experienced. When I moved down here to the South, it was like, where do I fit in here? Because to the Caucasian, because when I moved here, I'm gonna be honest with you, it was like little cliques. It was like we had the Black people over here, the white people over here, the skateboarders over here. I'm just telling you kind of my visual on things. It was definitely a culture shock. It was definitely different from what I was kind of used to, because, you know, in New York, you see all kinds of people, all kinds of cultures, you know, so here, everything was either Black or white, and if you was anything other than that, they whooped you with.
Oh.
You know? I don't know if you've experienced that, but I experienced that a lot. What you mean? Right.
Where are you from? I'm from New York. Where are you from?
What? But at least you ain't get what you is. What you is? What?
Family from?
Girl, but it was like the Black community, they really didn't care for me because it was like light skin, dark skin type of complex thing going on. And then, you know, I wasn't white, you know? So I was kind of like in the middle, and a lot of people thought I was, you know, they could see that I was mixed, and they usually just automatically assumed I was mixed with Black or white. You know, I'm trying to say never, like, it's a million other things, a million other cultures. But, you know, a lot of times I was really hurt by people in our community. I really was. I was like, you know, because I was only raised around, you know, our dad's mom, and I'm happy I had her. I told you we've had this conversation before. Like, I feel so blessed to have had her for that time period of my life, because I don't know if I would have survived all the things later down the road. But again, you know, I was raised around Black people, so even though I knew that, you know, Mom was Puerto Rican, and, you know, and that I was mixed, I never really identified, even being in Spanish Harlem, I never really identified with the Spanish people, because they made it very clear that I ain't one of them. I don't even speak Spanish.
You don't speak Spanish. You ain't cool.
Right.
You don't speak Spanish.
You're a fake Puerto Rican. Nah, I'm still... Look, I can understand it a whole lot better than my verbal skills is. I mean, I've gotten a little bit better.
Shit about me.
Like, oh, you call
about me.
You call me a He's like, you know what I'm saying? Like I can understand it way better than my verbal skills are, but like I was at a loss. I was so you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like they were so mean. Especially down here in the South, like it was something that I had never experienced. I was miserable when I first moved down here, because
you know what's funny though.
So has anyone ever directly, flat out called you the N-word, straight up? Like,
yeah, I've gotten really. Hell yeah! The other day on the phone, I got called a porch monkey.
Mm-hmm. What?
Swear to God, call me a porch monkey. But you know what I do? I'm gonna tell you what I do. I tell you how I handle that situation. Cause I'm gonna tell you what. What really eats a person is when they're trying to insult you and you play dumb. Because when he called me a porch monkey, I laughed, and then I stopped him in the middle of his ranting and raving, and I asked him, I said, sir, what is a porch monkey? I did. And honey, that infuriated this man on that phone. He was like, what the fuck are you doing? Well, whoa. I said, so I don't know what a porch monkey is. I've never been associated with that, so I don't know. Honey, you know what happened? He hung up. It was hilarious, though. Like, so I'm telling you, like, I have been called, I've been called a lot of things in my life. I've been called a lot of things, but I've been called a nigga, but I have experienced more colorism than I have racism. I have.
Yeah.
I have, because, and I can, I have no control over, and I always kind of prepared, I know it sounds crazy, but like, I prepared my children for that. Especially my, you know, I have like all my kids, like they all have different colors and stuff, like a box of crayons and stuff. But like, especially the lighter ones, you know, I prepare them for that because we're in the South, and because their skin is lighter, I feel like, and I'm trying to tell you, my your niece, I don't want to say her name, but your niece to this day is dealing with that. And I really believe in my heart of hearts, it's because she's light skinned. Like, the people that's over her are darker skin complexion. At any time she wants to try to transition or do something, they really try to make it hard for her. And I tell her, I said, well, can you beat that out?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to her and I was like, well, you know, I'm preparing you for these things because it was a shock to me. And because it was a shock, it was even more hurtful because I felt betrayed in a sense, because, hey, I'm one of y'all. That's all I've ever known me to be.
It's almost like, okay, so this whole NFL, sorry, you know, I'm not a big sports fan, so sorry, I'm just not. I can't get into it. I know I have to get into it at some point because I've got the boy, but right now, I'm not. So on that note, when Colin Kaepernick was attempting to, you know, it basically killed his fucking career, but, you know, he was trying to tell people like, hey, this shit is real. It's happening now. Racism is happening now. There is an inequality now. I don't even know if this is, the little one was born yet. Oh, it was someone, he was still a baby, because he's not a baby anymore. But I distinctly remember like hearing, I don't know, I was listening to a radio station, and this is a while ago, so I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly. But I remember someone talking or speaking to the fact that, hey, you know what? His experience is not the real Black experience. So I'm like, hang on a second. So because he's light-skinned, he's telling people, he has a platform. He can tell the world because people watch sports. And he's telling people that there is this disparity here. And no one wanted to listen. A, no one wanted to listen. But then B, there are folks out there who felt like, well, I'm going to just say it bluntly, like, you're not Black enough. Your experience wasn't Black enough. So you have no cause.
Yeah. And it's true. It is so true.
Which is astounding to me. Like, this guy literally said it. And I'm like, I wish I could quote it right now and get hard facts on it. But I distinctly remember hearing it. And I'm like, what the fuck? So he's not Black enough?
Yep. It's true. It's honest to God true. Like, I experienced that a lot down here. I really have. And it's sad. It's like, I'm right here with y'all, because if something goes down, you think they're going to look at me and be like, oh, she want us because she light? Hell no.
It's that 1% rule, and, right? If there's 1%, it's 1%. Guess 1%. What? Eyes of the law, guess what you are.
And it hurts me, and I'm going to tell you why it hurts me, okay? It hurts me, and it's disappointing to me, because we want to argue racism, but how can you argue racism when you're prejudiced? Your presence against me for something that I cannot control. I cannot control that I'm light skinned. I cannot control that. And I don't think I'm any better. And it pisses me off that they assume or they already stereotype me just based off the fact that I'm light skinned. You have no idea how much I have experienced that. And like, it's hurtful. And I hear some of our brown skin ladies say, oh, well, I experienced racism because I'm brown skin, and people lean towards light skin. And I'm like, yo, where? So I guess, I don't know. I guess
it goes both ways.
I guess
it can go both ways.
Right. It can go both ways. It can go both ways.
Yeah.
And it, again, you know, when will there be a point where, when will it be a point where it's just us together? And what I mean by that is, like, so many times in the community, in our community, why can't we help each other? Why can't we do like a lot of other communities do and stick together? I'm talking about us as women, but to be 100% honest, us as Black women, we have it way better, honestly, than some of our Black men. We have a better chance of walking away from a police stop than a Black man does, and that's the reality of it. It's just true. I have a better chance of walking away from a traffic stop than my future husband does, than your husband does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't want to forget about our men. That, you know, I can't imagine what it's like to be a Black man. And me and you we're minorities all the way, because not only are we Black, or Spanish, or multiracial, but we're women. So when it comes to jobs and pay and
that's a whole nother
damn battle. But
oh, that's another episode.
Yeah. How we work the same job, but they make more than we make doing the same shit.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Doing the same thing. We have to talk about that.
I'm like, ooh, I got a story for you that I. Ooh, yes, yeah.
But
yes.
But
we will talk about that.
Yes, but just to come back, like, you know, our men out here, our sons, our brothers, they in danger out here. I'm not saying that we're not in danger. Please don't misunderstand me, because with that list of names, it's some women that have lost their lives.
Yeah.
But again, it's you,
a higher percentage.
It's our men out here. They should be able to walk away. I actually saw a video, okay, social media. I seen a video where this Caucasian guy took a taser, took swings at a police officer, even had the opportunity to get in the police officer's car and drive it. And he walked away. He went to jail. Why?
But,
why is it when it's one of us having a mental breakdown, they gotta die? Why is that? Why? I actually seen another video, same situation almost, a Caucasian guy. Cuss out the darn police from A to Z. He walked away. He lived. But if that would have been a brother, it would have been escalated to a whole nother level. He would have lost his life. Why is
there there's actually, you know, the folks that we've kind of, in that last episode, the one that we've talked, like I pulled some of those stats, not stats. I pulled some of that together, but I can't imagine how many, I guess I'm trying to say is, now that, you know, like, social media is so big, now we know about these stories and now we know that these are the experiences that people are having. How many people have been experiencing this over the years?
And quiet.
And in silence. No one knows.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. So it's not. It's a small wonder why, when people don't understand it because no one knows about it. We're only hearing about this. It's not mainstream, right? This isn't something that should be mainstream. But now we're able to, you know, you're able to publicize this. So now people are starting to have this understanding of this shit is going on. But how many fucking years?
Years.
How many years has this been going?
Years.
And no one has been able to see it because they haven't seen it. They think it don't exist.
Okay, you ready for me to blow your mind? Are you ready? I have experienced racism from white police officers before, but my worst experience with a police officer wasn't even a white guy. Can you believe that? And I was scared. When I think back on it now, after I got into law enforcement, I learned my rights. I was like, wow, that man totally violated my rights. He even told me, step out the car, invited me to step out my car, invited me to step out, told me to shut my mouth. Like, I'm trying to tell you. Again, and I'm a female. I cannot imagine what our men go through, our men of color. I can't.
Yeah. It's never been a secret, the fact that I wanted to be in law enforcement. And I don't really know when. I know when it shifted, and it, for various reasons, I was like, look, I need to get a job. I have to get my own place. You know, for various reasons, I didn't kind of go forward with it. But I do remember a time where, you know, I mean, this is obviously a long time ago, but I was walking home, and I can't remember if I was still in high school or if I was in college at the time, but I was on my way to work, and it was St. Patrick's Day. Now, for folks who have listened to us for a while, you know, I grew up in a group home, and it was a Catholic group home, and my favorite nun, of course, she was from Ireland, and St. Patrick's was her absolute favorite day. And it was St. Patrick's Day. I was on my way to work, and I passed this bar, and I mean, the way I've always understood it to be, you know, it's pretty infamous, you know, cops hang out there. And as I'm passing it, this woman, obviously she was drunk as F. Clearly she was drunk as fuck. But she starts singing this little diddly. And I'm like halfway down the block. Like, what the fuck did she, what was she singing? Like, it literally took me about half a block to really register what the fuck she had said. And once it computed, I was horrified. She was singing a song talking about I'm gonna go kill a N-word.
What?
No lie. Yes.
What? Yes. Well, you ain't had to worry because ain't none of us we not ignorant.
No lie.
Yeah, you safe.
It didn't even, like, I couldn't even register what she was saying because it was like
foreign.
Holy yeah, it was foreign, but I'm like, this is the 90s. 96, 97, 98, maybe? I'm like, why the fuck? It's the 90s. I thought we were kind of done with that. And this small town. This is not small town America. That is where? New York fucking City.
I'm kind of shocked at that.
Dude, you were shocked.
I'm gonna tell you what I heard.
My whole day was fucked. My whole day was fucked. I had to go home and be really happy for this nun, my favorite nun. And I was, it felt so fake because I'm like, I just had this experience and I'm like, I can't enjoy this day with her. But anywho,
what I was gonna say was, and this is what I was told by like some older people when I moved down here and I was experiencing some of the things I was experiencing. I'm going to tell you what I was told. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Okay. So somebody told me that it's just as much racism up north as it is here. They said the only difference is that up north, they're real quiet about it. They're real sneaky about it. Versus down here in the south, they're a little liberal with it.
No. Come on. You know what? Okay.
I'm just telling you.
It depends where you grew up. Where I, my crew was very multicultural. I mean, we were the, I want to say we were kind of the nerdy crew. It's fine. I accept it. It's good. That was my crew.
Right.
But where we grew up, I mean, it's very multicultural. It's not one or the other. It's very, very diverse. But that's inner city living. You start moving out to the outskirts, and yes, that is where you start to see, like, I'm not talking maybe some, I, just in my experience where we grew up, it was multicultural, but you start moving out into outside the boroughs and you will start to see stuff like that. I mean, when I bought my first house out on Long Island, whoa, did I see a Confederate flag? I mean, this is Long Island, right? Yeah. Woo, this is New York, right? No. So for, it is true. Like, it's people think that, hey, you grow up in New York and it is very culturally diverse. And yeah, that's true, but not everywhere.
Right.
And folks here, I don't know. I call it that nice, nasty shit. People try to say mean things on the cover being niceness, which to me is still fucking nasty. So I call it the nice, nasty. And I just think let's people do that shit are just assholes. Sorry. That's just how I see it. But I think that they try to be subtle with it here. I don't think it's straight up.
I believe that. I believe that. And I believe a lot of it is, it can be underhanded. Behind
that microaggression.
Behind the scenes.
Oh.
You know, like calling everybody a certain department a monkey, for example. Like that, which I told you is a recent experience of mine, you know, and I, to be honest, everybody was so hyped because with all of this color, all this racism and colorism and stuff going on, a lot of people took it straight to racism. When in my mind, even though, yeah, they could have meant it that way, but I took it as, hey, wait a minute, let's take the color out of the equation. And why would you minimize my hard work because I'm not on the same pay grade that you're on, or because you don't have to get out here and do it? So you feel like minimize what they do. Awesome. I didn't even look at it like, you know, at first. But the more I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, you know what? This could definitely be considered racial. Everything that's going on, and you could have picked anything else, but we pick monkey.
Right? Like, of all, like, right. I mean, you're right.
Like, jackasses would have been just as insulting. Why monkey?
Like a donkey.
Right. Donkeys can do that. Well, okay. I mean, that would have been rude, but why monkey?
Hmm.
Right?
Like, you're no better than?
Yeah, well, you know.
That's the impression. That's the...
Well, now.
Lord. I mean, so I think, you know, for our listeners, I'd like to think that our listeners are pretty diverse. And it's like Janine said, when we first started, you know, began this episode, like we have a great respect for our law enforcement, but you know, there's one is too many.
Absolutely.
I think one is too many. And that's it. Bottom line. You hear a lot of, hey, well, just listen, you know, just listen to what they're telling you and you're going to walk away. But that's not always the case. You ask Breonna Taylor's family if that was the case with her. She didn't even have a fucking chance. Okay. So it's easy to say, hey, just follow the officer's direction. And you look at George Floyd, he was following the officer's direction.
Right.
One is too many. While we do have this respect, we still, as people of color, think that one is too many.
And can I just throw this out there? I know that we're about to close out, but what I thought about when you were saying that is how so many times, and this is another thing that I hate. So many times when people are killed at the hands of law enforcement. They want to talk about every single thing that that person did before that incident that doesn't even apply to it. I wouldn't care if they had just robbed a bank. They deserve a trial. They do not deserve to die right there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Agreed. I mean, it's very simple. Like, there is a such thing, and there's a such thing as due process.
Right.
Give them the opportunity to get there.
Right. Right.
Give them the opportunity to get there. You're not an attorney. You are not a judge.
Right.
You're not a corrections officer. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have to, it seems to kind of escalate very, very quickly. And like, I don't know what contributes to that, but you can't tell me that there is not a disparity when you look at things that are happening like George Floyd, like Breonna Taylor, and then you compare that to how Kyle Rittenhouse was taken into custody, alive, by the way.
Right.
Let me be clear here. I'm not saying that it should have been any other way, but there has to be some level of equality in the outcomes mm-hmm. of these interactions.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. People fuck up all the time. Sure. But you also deserve to walk away with it alive.
Right.
Let the judge decide what your punishment should be.
Absolutely.
The judge and God. That's it.
Right.
The police ain't it. I ain't it. I mean, you know, I'm not it, but that's between, I guess, the judge, because that's law. That's the system of law, and God. That's it.
Right.
You know, we've talked about like experiencing racism in our own homes or in our own communities and amongst our own, you know, within our own culture. And the fact of the matter is, people, it's there.
Right.
Just because you're not experiencing it doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true.
Right. Absolutely.
So, you know, as always, we appreciate feedback. So if anybody has any feedback that they'd like to, you know, bring to our attention as it pertains to this episode, we know this is an important topic. And if you felt like, hey, let's talk, there's something that you missed in this, we want to hear that feedback. You know, we would be actually glad to have you as a guest on our show so we can make it an open table conversation.
Right.
Because we have to continue to have conversations about this. It's so important because I think, and I know you think this, you start sweeping shit under the rug, nothing mm-hmm. gets solved. So if we talk about it, at least maybe more people can just understand the, you know, the experience. And yeah. So as always, thank you, listeners. You know how much we appreciate you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We appreciate your support, whether you're listening to our podcast or even following us on our social media pages. Please check us out on our website at www.oustnow.com, where you can find out where you can listen, all those platforms that we're available on. Don't forget to leave us a message with feedback.